Lisa, you let me know.
I'm going.
All right. We are here with Community Services. And Deb, I'll just turn it to you right away.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Deb Shildroth with Community Services.
Carla Webb with Community Services.
And we'll go ahead and just start with the revenue budget. And it's a small revenue budget. And one of the things we wanted to point out is under the general basic physical health and social services, other health fees, the amount that's there is a guesstimate. That's dependent upon those individuals that we've put on the SSI interim reimbursement program. They're applying for SSI, and so while they're doing that, we are helping with rent and utilities. And once their SSI decision is made, if it's favorable, then we'll get reimbursement for what we've assisted with. But that can sometimes, that whole process of approving their claim or reviewing their claim can take up to a couple of years. And so a lot of times we'll have clients that we've put on the program, but it's going to overlap into fiscal years depending on what point we've put them in. This current fiscal year, we've had one individual who's been approved.
Okay.
So we're just waiting for the notice to be, they're figuring up right now how much he's going to receive because there's a back payment. And then we'll receive notice. If he's not approved for SSI, we also have individuals sign a repayment agreement. It was one, an agreement that the county attorney's office helped us develop a few years ago. And so we'll still get reimbursed if he's, and when that applies is if they're getting SSDI based on their work history and their work credits. So if they're not eligible for SSI, but they do become eligible for SSDI, then this other repayment agreement kicks in and we'll get paid back. And so for that individual, we're looking at about $9,920 that we would be reimbursed. About $500 of that would need to be deposited into mental health because we helped with a deposit out of mental health funds. But then that remaining $9,420 would come back into the general fund.
And we think that's going to happen this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we've reestimated to $8,420. Why not $9,420?
At the time I did this budget, he had actually been approved, but now it's taking longer than I anticipated for Social Security to determine what he was going to get.
Shock.
So they're still working through it. So
okay.
Now we're further out.
Okay. But we feel good about $6,000 again next year. And I understand it's just a swag number depending on what happens. And I think $6,000 is what we've run
typically
pretty much every year.
Typically we do $6,000 and have this discussion when
yeah.
It comes to this time of the year just because you're into the year and you kind of have an idea of who might be getting reimbursed, who you might be
ends up
before.
Not receiving a favorable decision on SSI or SSDI, then we're just out the money.
Yeah.
There's no reimbursement mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How often does that happen? And percentages, I mean real rough percentages of the ones we dig in and are supporting through the process, how often do they get turned down?
Since I've been doing it, I can think of at least one individual.
Out of what, roughly?
We're doing more now than we have in the past, so.
Four or five.
Yeah, I mean we've got three people right now, maybe even six
okay.
or seven, somewhere in there.
And okay. Keep in mind, I mean, most people who apply, their initial application is denied. That's just how it is. So then it's the appeal process that takes the longer amount of time, and they're usually working with legal aid, maybe a private attorney if that's who they secured. But they have legal representation that's helping them. The other thing that we've put into place, and this is probably more so for the mental health clients, is a process called SOAR. And that is if someone is homeless, and homeless is broadly defined, so they could be living with a friend, but because it's not their own place, it's not a permanent address, that could be considered homeless. We have Nikki Lohman and Kathy Johnson in our office trained to help sit down with that person and write up a medical summary, gather all of their medical records, and put it into a summary that is then provided to Social Security. And that... for that initial application, that kind of pushes that time frame up, that we'll get a decision in a quicker amount of time. Is it like 60 to 90?
Yeah, usually about within 90 days.
Okay.
And the hope is that they will get approved rather than having to appeal then and go through the longer process.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, and I just want to make sure I understand, what I'm hearing is somewhere in the 15% of the time range, we'll do this and we won't be able to recover any dollars. So just talk me through why this is the right thing for Story County to be doing, to stepping up and taking this on.
Well, for one thing, it keeps people out of higher levels of care or more expensive levels of care.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps them in an apartment, keeps them in the community, and helping them learn the skills that they need to remain in that lowest level of care. Now, if there's somebody who needs to be in a residential care facility or a group home, I mean, then we don't necessarily have them on SSI interim because we're paying for that then through mental health.
Okay.
But it's a quality of life. It's keeping them in the community and out of those more expensive facilities. Because we do tend to see people wanting to, well, I can't afford an apartment. Now with the health and wellness plan, they can qualify for Medicaid because they have no income. So they'll have medical services covered, but they don't have the funds to pay rent and utilities. Well, if we can pick that up, at least in the interim while they're applying for disability, then it just keeps them in the community and in a situation that more meets their needs than putting them into a facility and becoming dependent then upon others to provide the services for them.
So what I'm hearing you say, and I'm going to say it back to you in case I'm missing, it's the right thing for the community to do, spending these dollars. We get most of them back at the end of time, and in reality, we're saving other dollars that we would, if we weren't spending these, we'd be spending other dollars and probably more down the road.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And I think other thing it helps is it helps the client, even though they're not directly paying the rent, I think it does help build relationships and credibility with the landlords and help build some kind of a rental history for the individual.
Okay.
It seems to work for the folks that were assisting in that capacity.
All right, good. Let's move on to the expense side. And I'll do the same thing with you that I'm doing with everybody, and that is draw a line under employer flex benefits. And let's talk about everything from that line up, because, Carla, it's all going to change. And we don't know exactly how it's going to change just yet, right. But it is all going to change. And, you know, I don't know how deeply I need to go into the flex. We don't know what that's going to look like just yet. My expectation is that we're going to see that number go up, at least total, when you look at flex and all the ancillary benefits or all the ancillary costs that go with it.
Flex is going to actually be two lines. It's going to be possibly flex and insurance.
Correct. So. And in that case, you would see probably the flex portion of that go down, but the insurance portion, which would be new, would be, if you add the two together, it will be more, and definitely more per employee than we're currently spending, but we don't know yet, and we're working through it, and Lisa will get you the numbers as soon as we have them. Second thing is, when we go up to staff costs, we're going to budget closer to actual for everybody, and it looks like right now it's kicking out somewhere in the low 90% range that we're going to budget, understanding that probably every department and every office is going to come in higher than that when we get near the end of next year, and we're going to have to amend some dollars in, but we're trying really, really hard to budget closer to actual and make sure that those dollars are going exactly where they're intended to go. So that number will look different and will be eating up probably a greater percentage. I would imagine at halfway through the year, we're going to be greater than halfway through those dollars, and that's when we're going to have to start talking about coming back and amending some dollars in. Okay? Those are items that you will have to account for, but you will not be responsible for. We'll be responsible for those. Okay? Lisa, anything else there?
Nope.
Okay.
The only comment we would like to make under the salaries for pay plan staff with the upcoming changes within community services, right now this is that 35% of the salary for the intake coordinator financial manager, which is Carla. We would be changing that to 75% mental health and then 25% community services director. And we've got 25% in there already for my salary, but it will be reflective of Carla's salary.
So what we're going to need you to do with the action the board took yesterday, we need to get moving as rapidly as we can. And, Deb, I know you have some thoughts on what community services, what the structure is going to look like there, but I think any restructuring there is going to require board action.
Yeah.
Anything we do. And so let's move through that process as quickly as we can. And then, Carla, you'll need to get us what the new numbers would look like.
What percentage
based on
need
that
to put in here?
Yeah.
For the community service support and, well, obviously for the mental health, both of them. Eventually.
And listen, I talked about this later in the day yesterday, and I'll start making some suggested changes on the community services director's job description and get that to Alyssa to review and
okay.
Rescore.
Super. Anything else up there? All right, so we're on office supplies then. I'm on office supplies on page 72.
Down.
Unless I should be somewhere yeah. different.
I don't know.
Go wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Deb, just walk us through them one at a time.
Okay. Office supplies, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Sure.
The additional cost in there, which we added as of this current fiscal year, would be shredding services. We have Iron Mountain that comes once a month. They just start coming in December. And they'll come once a month and do our shredding for us. The reason for that is previously the majority of our shredding we were sending over to CLP, so the clients had a job to do that would then help them qualify under certain circumstances for Medicaid. And with that changing, we thought we better look at alternatives. So the shredding service is an alternative. We still are sending things over to CLP for the time being, but when it changes hands of providers, because it's not going to be a county-operated provider, we don't feel as comfortable. We don't feel we'll be in compliance with HIPAA by giving confidential kinds of information over to a non-county provider. So that was, again, one of the reasons for the change. We don't anticipate any increases there.
Mm-hmm.
Postage and mailing has stayed pretty much the same. Employee mileage and expense, we have very limited use there through.
Yeah, we need $100 in there just to cover when it's sure.
Mm-hmm. The communication services, and Carla, do you want to talk a little bit about some increases?
And that is too. It covers the phones, basically, and you know, we had the new implementation of the phone system in that, so that's to cover those costs.
Is this the only one that's going down?
It is the only one. How do you do that?
They just don't use them.
Estimated
higher. No, it looks like
everybody's higher.
Based on where you are, that's exactly where you're going to be for the year. So
yeah.
You just
great job.
Got lucky and have less cost than everybody else.
I
think
it
it's skill.
Well, it must be being nice to you or something. It must have a different line that connects over there. You know, it's up in the clouds, up in the heavens, that it kind of radiates down.
Yeah. For me, we can skip down to funeral services unless anybody wants to talk about anything from there down.
Those first four under are medical care, hospital care,
yep.
Medicines, and food. Again, placeholders.
Yep. Rent payments, it looks like we're reasonably consistent. It looks like that's what we're on track for this year. It makes sense to me. Utilities, again, it is what it is. I think the 8,000 is a good number. The funeral services, so for me, and Deb, if I'm missing this one, just tell me, that's just an item that we're going to pay what we pay. And so then it just comes down to trying to get as close to the right number in there as we can. And
we have a set fee.
And that's based on
we have a set fee, but we don't have a set number of funerals that we're paying for.
Right, right.
It changes.
It changes every year. It goes up and down.
You got another 2% rate increase this year? Or you're doing a 2%? You didn't do one last year.
We did do one for this current year.
Right.
So okay. We're suggesting one for this current
yeah.
fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know. Has Veterans Affairs had their...
Yeah, and what we told Veterans Affairs is we will pay the same rate for both. But this, we had the same conversation with them. This is really a swag number because we don't know how many funerals we're going to do. Regardless of the cost of each one, we don't know how many. And so I look at it and I say, okay, we're on pace for about $30,000. It looks to me, if you look back, over the last few years, 30,000 is the most, you know, 1 year we were way down from that, but most years we're coming in somewhere right around 30. I'm suggesting that we just plug 30 in there until we have a year that it's a whole lot different than that.
Funeral services, Wayne. Okay, instead of 34.9.
Instead of 34.9, just a flat. We know we're going to pay what we're going to pay. Some years it's going to be a little less. Some years it's going to be a little more. And it may be a lot less or a lot more 1 year. But we're just going to find a way to pay it. You guys okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the management services, that's essentially funds available to assist transient individuals and families with a bus ticket or gas voucher for out-of-state destinations. And we're having a lower utilization than anticipated this current fiscal year.
They want to stick around? They don't want to leave?
We're just not seeing as many applications for it, yeah, for some reason, which usually winter months or
right.
heading into winter right. is when those seem to go up, but we haven't seen it this year.
Okay, moving on.
Dropping down then to general supplemental, the hospital care for chemical treatment services. We have not used any funds yet this fiscal year. This particular service is for substance abuse committals at Mount Pleasant, which is the MHI that has the substance abuse unit. They also have the dual mental health substance abuse unit. And just a little piece of information on that, if you've heard from the governor's budget proposal, he is looking at closing two of the MHIs, Clarinda and Mount Pleasant, and it wants to do that by June 30th. And at the commission meeting last week, we talked a little bit about that. Of course, lots of concerns about the decrease in the mental health inpatient beds, though that would be picked up in part by Independence MHI. They would move 20 to 25 mental health inpatient beds up to the Independence facility. But in terms of what they would do with the substance abuse beds and the dual beds, they didn't have as quick of an answer or a plan yet. They're talking to the Department of Public Health and to Iowa Medicaid to see what other kinds of services are already out in the community to pick those beds up. There's already a community capacity issue for both of those services, so I'm not sure what the final answer will be. So given the fact that this, I mean, it's coming out so early in the legislative session, which is good, but I would not recommend zeroing out that line item because we could be picking up those costs maybe at another location.
Right.
Absolutely.
The facility itself is managed by the state in terms of the employees and all of that because it's not a private situation. So assuming they close it, then it's the state will be online for how they allocate out those personnel to other facilities if that need be. And so are you hearing any other concerns or rumbling from the community itself? I would assume if you're going to close down any type of facility in a given area, there's an economic concern that's attached because more than likely these people are living in the community or are very close within that proximity. Has there been any discussion that would impact? Well, it wouldn't. I mean, all counties within a certain region, I would assume ours is more regionalized. So if we were going to have clients, we would more likely have a group going there rather than going to the far west or northwest to such as what's the one I'm thinking about?
Cherokee.
Well,
historically, MHI's had their catchment areas, and we are in Cherokee's catchment area.
Okay.
But anymore, just because of the lack of community inpatient beds for mental health services, we've had clients go primarily, they'd go to Cherokee, but they'd also go to Clarinda and Mount Pleasant. We've rarely had anybody go to MHI. but if there was an open bed in Clarinda and there wasn't in Cherokee, the client would be transferred to Clarinda. Getting back to your question about the economic impacts of this, there are big economic impacts. I mean, people are probably going to be laid off. And I think the number of jobs affected between both facilities was 150 jobs. And those are smaller communities now.
Yeah, exactly.
Representative Heaton, Dave Heaton, is from the Mount Pleasant area, so I'm sure he's
right, on top of
really
that.
All over this.
Right.
Those are hospitals that those counties in that area use for their inpatient services.
Right.
So that's going to push
people out even more.
And, you know, in 2009, there was a task force appointed to tour all MHIs and make a recommendation on, you know, what services should be provided, should there be a closure, that kind of thing. And Christy Krause from Mary Greeley and myself were both on that task force. And the recommendation was to close one of them. I mean, they're old facilities. It takes a lot to maintain them.
They didn't have a lot of patients, and I mean, the numbers were down.
Absolutely. And they still are. But, you know, when you're talking about those facilities serving as acute facilities, they've got people coming in and out all of the time. And when Mary Greeley's full, that's what they're going to do is look at one of the MHIs. So, but our recommendation for that task force at that point in time was to close one of the facilities, but it needed to be done very carefully and very planfully. You need to have a plan as to how that's going to be supported if it does close. But it ended up not going anywhere. But who knows where this is going to end up landing. But it does put even more stress on the system if there isn't a plan in place and there's already.
And so basically Mary Greeley, for example, has the limited capacity for certain types of clients that it will be able to take anyway, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, their bed capacity is, I think they've got, 15 beds between adolescent and adult? I mean, they're full a lot of the time.
Right.
A lot of time our clients can't get in there. They have
and
to
that's why we used to send some clients to Eldora for a few years ago for some similar type service, and I thought a part of that had closed down at one time.
That was Ellsworth Hospital.
Oh, yes, Ellsworth. Okay, Iowa Falls.
Mental health unit. That closed, and the one in Fort Dodge closed.
Yeah.
And,
right. Okay.
It kind of remains to be seen how that's going to all play out. And there are prison sites at both of those facilities, but those prison sites are not affected by.
So where I'm really going with this is knowing the challenges that are there and the client's needs to be served somewhere in the state, do you foresee that any of this could impact our regions in terms of what we have to do to try to provide a level of service?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because if those two units close down, the counties that are closest who use MHI for their hospital, they're going to have to find other places and most likely head north because there isn't a lot in those southern tiers of the state. So
for us budgetarily, it looks to me like we can leave something in, but let's cut the 10.5 to 5 for this year, and then let's come back and have the conversation again next year. I mean, no, we didn't use any of it last year. At current, we're not looking like we're going to use any of it this year, and our four-year average is $3,700. It just seems to me going to $5,000 there, and we'll just see as this all shakes out where we're really going to end up and what that needs to be, if that's okay with you guys.
We'll know more by the beginning of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. I also am reestimating the current year just for sake of argument down to $3,000. It could probably go to zero, but I hate to do that.
Yeah, I think perfect. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay.
All right, so we're proposing cutting in half what we originally budgeted in inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we need to be? I mean, it looks like our history tells us that's where we need to be, but so far this year we really haven't spent much.
Right, and one of the major factors playing into that is the health and wellness plan. People are qualifying for Medicaid, and that's paying for their
hospitalization. That's great. I just want to recognize that and make sure we plug an item in here. So is it $20,000 or is it less than $20,000?
Do you want to
it could probably be less. in all reality, because we're just not seeing it. And if somebody has lost, we are seeing folks right now who are going through their review for Iowa Health and Wellness, and that process has taken a little while, and they're losing their insurance. But so if we saw that for somebody, we would just work with them to get back on, and odds are it'll go back and pick up that hospital stay. So
can we take that to 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before you do that, Rick,
yep,
look at the historical usage again.
But the historical.
And is it because now the new changes in the law and so forth and the shifting of funding, we've seen that this is really.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Lisa, what you
good.
Said?
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
good with that. I re-estimated the current year down to 10, too.
Okay.
Okay. So we're in the line item.
Second one.
That, second from the bottom.
Yep.
Okay.
And we're taking
so
that
the
to 20 10.
20 to 10.
Yep.
Okay.
And Carla, we'll have to keep track of this.
And the re-estimated 10.
Maybe we can take it down next year. Maybe we'll have to go up. Let's just see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, these are all three line items. You know, you said at the very beginning we're going to pay for. We're going to pay for them.
Yeah.
This is stuff we're going to take care of.
Right.
But there's no need to put more in than we think we're going to spend.
I think this line item with the inpatient and in the hospitals, what we're going to end up being is that we're going to fill the gap. So if someone does lose.
Yeah.
Right.
That's. You know, whether it's temporary or long term.
But instead of footing the bill, filling the gap is going to cost us less.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. 4,500 looks about right to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no other source of funding for the court appointed counsel, so that will continue to be our responsibility.
Okay. Great. Okay.
You want to tell us where we were on that page?
234,800.
What?
Good job.
What'd you say?
234,800.
234,800.
About
19,980.
Okay. All right, next.
Mental health?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we all need some.
I need a minute before we need to go to mental health.
Sure.
I don't even want to think about trying to figure out.
I couldn't get it to
I'm
going to
pause.
So I stuck my hand in and pushed out.
With it, and then it'll be more based on reality. Okay, we're ready to get back going?
Yep.
All right, mental health.
Mental health. I had given you this little document. And I'll just say, out of the chute, this first page, the revenue, or the levy recommendation page, is not correct.
Is it not correct everywhere, or just for us?
Just for us.
Yeah, because we can't go over $3,066,575.
Correct.
Deb and I was ranting and raving to her yesterday, and I'm sure she's like, Lisa.
You ranting and raving?
Yeah.
Come on.
The whole concept of mental health redesign, one of the concepts was to have a per capita levy rate for everybody. Somewhere along the line, the ball got dropped because they didn't change the maximum on top of it.
Right.
So the per capita is $33 and some odd cents here.
$33.19.
And the max is 47 something, but you still have to calculate what your maximum 1995 base expenditures were. You take the lower of the two. How's that? It's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Well, I would like to see.
No good when it comes to the
no, I'd
levy.
Like to see a system where even if we've got to go up a little here in Story County in terms of maximum dollars that we collect for mental health, I'd like to see a system where every single county pays the same per cap rate. If per cap is what we're using,
right.
Then let's use
then
it. And everybody pays that same per cap rate, and that means we got to go up for Power Sheik substantially. We got to go up for Warren substantially. It looks like Boone is pretty right there, and we're pretty right there. I mean, I don't think we're we're talking about $14,000 out of 3 million. It's not a substantial hit that we're talking about. But it just, if we're all partners in this, we should all be partners in this. And every person, if you're going per cap, every person ought to be counted the same way in our region, regardless of what county they live in. And that's not happening right now. So I'm planning on talking to Lisa Heddens and saying, wait a minute, you guys were the ones who said you wanted this system. Let's put a system in place that treats every member of the region the same.
Well, and if you're going to do it per capita, then you need to get rid of the maximum dollar
amount. Exactly right. It's all based on a per capita. Absolutely.
Right. That wasn't the thought with the per capita and equalization was kind of thought of within its own bubble. It didn't extend onto, oh, by the way, we've got these maximum levy dollar amounts that are out there and haven't changed in years.
So what we need to know is we are going to levy to the maximum allowable dollars collected, which you got in there, at 72 cents, I think, is how we get to the maximum. And we're going to levy to the max dollars, but that's all we can put into the region.
Right.
Okay.
And we have a conference call this afternoon at 3 o'clock to talk about this. I guess worst-case scenario would be we're levying our max. But it could go down. And so we can always levy less.
So look at your chart. Well, you'll get there maybe. So the chart basically on the story, the max available is the $3,066,000, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And so that's basically what we're saying we're going to levy.
That would be,
That's the max we can levy.
That's the max. Mm-hmm. Even though that max is less than the per capita 47.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Because they didn't
They
didn't take the dollar amount out when they talked about all this. They didn't take the dollar
amount. So, in theory, again, within the region, we knew that there was some originally that was higher than the 47, so they had to come down to at least the 47, basically. And now we're looking at the overall, I'm going to say, health or fund balance within the region. And we're realizing that there is going to be a carryover. So how do you bring that down? Either by offering different new services and funding those services, but that takes time to get that done. So in the meantime, when you have to certify your levy, you would have to think you have to certify only what you can legally do by law.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why we're having that phone conversation tonight, because this sheet right here, Wayne, is going to be redone.
Right.
And it's going to go to the regional governing board on Monday.
Right.
So we'll have the information in plenty of time.
Great.
To be certified. What we're doing here, what we're attempting to do is our own equalization within the region.
Right.
The reason for that is the governor has said and the Department of Human Services has said they're not supporting equalization funds for fiscal year 16. So for Story County, that's about $1.2 million less that we would receive in state funds. And those funds this year went to the region anyway. So we're attempting to do our own equalization here.
Right.
In looking at our overall revenues for the region, only about 10% of it were state funds. The rest of it was all local property tax dollars in each county. And the other thing is that, as you can see, we've got healthy ending fund balance. Yes, there are things that we are required to do, and we're working on the expansion of core services and then going on into the Core Plus services. But as you know, Wayne, that takes time.
Oh, yeah.
And I know there's some legislators who are wanting to see that expedited, but it just takes time, especially when you're working with some of the rural counties that just don't – they're going to rely on the larger counties to help bring those resources to their areas.
Those are really high ending fund balances, but it looks like they're getting chipped away at every year, and there's – we're going to keep those because of the unreliability of other sources of funding?
That is part of it, Lucy. I mean, that's a really good point because my concern is that the legislators are going to see these because most regions have high-ending fund balances. There's a couple that aren't, but they weren't in the best financial health going into regionalization to begin with. But I think we're going to see the same story played over and over like we did about 12, 13, 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. The state's going to say, okay.
You don't need the dollars. We're not going to put them in. And then our this ending fund balance that looks great is going to be gone in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And there is already some charts being drafted showing where regions start to go into the red, and some of those regions go into the red as of next fiscal year.
Question, Deb, for you and Wayne to take back to the region. It seems to me, I really appreciate that you've got FY15 expenses and projected FY16 expenses for the region. I think it would be good, while I understand the further out we get, the more of a swag number it is, if we could see what our projections are. So huge ramp up from FY15 to FY16. We're spending, what, almost $9 million in the region in FY15, and then we're projecting $15.5 million right. in 16. Clearly, to me, that means we're getting some of these programs up and operational that we don't have this fiscal year. That's great. I'd like to see a projection of what it looks like in 17, and even if we can get there, 18, because I think what we'll be able to show if we go that far is, if there's not state equalization, while Lucy's 100% right, boy, this 100% ending fund balance looks great this year, the reality is it's going to be gone by FY18 if we don't have those equalization dollars, and I think it would be fairly easy and reasonable to just project, okay, what new programs are we expecting to come online in FY17, and what's our increased cost of the programs that we offer in 16 that are going to roll into 17, and then same thing in 18, and I know it's a swag number, but it will show how quickly this $12 million ending fund balance will completely disappear unless there's equalization. So I would just suggest that, Wayne, if it's possible to get that done. Second thing is the $2.4 million ending fund balance for Story County right? I thought we were higher than that. So this shows us FY14. Oh, but it doesn't show our FY15, which is going to be more like $5 million, isn't it?
Higher.
6.6. No, FY16. I'm sorry. FY15 is 5.
That's what we
showed. Yeah. Just a minute. I got it right here.
So if you
4.3.
So
FY15 reestimated.
4.3.
Yeah, and see, I don't think that's calculated in, Deb, in this box that you're showing us down in the bottom left corner. And so we need to, because I think the ending fund balance is greater than $12 million region wide when we get into FY15 and then our projection for FY16. But we need to work that through, I think, and make sure that we've got some really good numbers.
And Lisa, would you?
I had 258%, which is 4.3 million.
What were you looking at for six?
Or 4.399.
You didn't go up.
FY16, yeah. The budget proposal is in front of us, 6.6.
Does that include any equalization dollars, or have you stopped counting those at all?
Oh, no, I stopped that both times.
Yeah. We got to be careful with this because you guys are 100% right. If the state starts to see those dollars without seeing what's happening over the next 3 years, they're going to say, "You guys don't need that money."
Well, I asked Deb yesterday or the day before about restricting ending fund balances because there had been some...
25%.
Yeah, there had been a restriction of 25% put in there somewhere, but it never went through apparently. But if it was thought of last year already, you know they're going to.
Well, no, Deb, didn't Director Schultz tell us that as of 16 or at a certain date by start of 16 that we had to be at 25%? Yeah,
I can go back. I can.
I'm almost positive that's understood by regions that. And that was part of the question, was it just counties or the entire region? And from my recollection, when we were meeting down at ISAC and other discussions, that it came through clear that everybody, including counties and regions, had to be at that 25%.
Well, and for us to get there in Story County, it means instead of levying $3,066,000, we're levying about $1 million.
And then we go back into where we started with this whole process back in 1996 and 97 of the levy going like this every year.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see if we could lower this levy for the upcoming year, knowing where we're going.
Well, I'd like to see, and maybe it's as simple as saying, okay, as a region, we are philosophically going to set a maximum ending fund balance for every county to reach over a three-year span. And then we would have to make – so it would mean that we wouldn't try to cut our levy so much this year that we're eating into all that. But over the next 3 years, we start to reduce the levy. So in my mind, then the region would say, here's how many operational dollars that we need from Story County. But here's the maximum levy that we want Story County to carry. Now let's start to levy and then supplement – in order to get there. Because there's two ways to look at this as I see it, though. One way is we should go ahead and levy our max for the next couple years because the state is going to take these dollars away and we're going to have a cushion to fall back on. That's one way to look at it. The other way, but that's got a limited shelf life because if this equalization goes away, no matter how many dollars we've got there, it's not enough. It's enough to get by for a year or two, but it's not enough. The second way is that we're going to manage this thing on an ongoing basis, and so we've got to equalize ourselves, and in this case it means equalizing ourselves down so that the state will see that, in fact, in reality, in order to operate in the long term, there needs to be some state dollars.
Yeah. So, you know, logic says you're right.
Yep.
But the reality of the way the state generally operates says that that logic is only goes as far as hearsay, because until they see actual crises coming from counties and regions where there's people not being served in various programs and there's no additional dollars to add the new crisis intervention services that's going to be needed, they're not going to put any more money into it.
I agree with you completely. What I'm saying is they can more readily see a crisis when we don't have 100% ending fund balance
but unless
basically a year's worth of expenses.
But it needs to be done regional-wide now, though, doesn't it, instead of just one individual counties?
I think this is a regional issue.
Right.
I think it's a regional issue that impacts the way we levy here in Story County, how much we levy. All I'm suggesting is I would like to see the region have a conversation, whatever the philosophy is. If it is, let's get as much as we can right now, knowing that there's going to come a rainy day, great. That's what the region decided. If it is, let's start to operate as if this is a true ongoing kind of system, and let's equalize ourselves down. The reality is Story County has too dang much in its ending fund balance this year and next year. We just do. You can't justify having those kind of dollars in an ending fund balance. Now, I believe that they're all going to get eaten up because of where I think the state is going, and the only thing I'm questioning is, do we want to start to recognize that ourselves here now and have a plan for this is how it looks over the next 4 years, or do we want to just go and then we're going to have the crisis and we're going to go? At the end of the day, Wayne, you're 100% right. We got to rely on the state, and the state has proven to be unreliable at best in this case.
Well, and I think the state's focus going forward is going to be on their Medicaid budget. I mean, it's millions in the red now.
Right, that's why they're looking for money.
Exactly. And one of the things, again, this was in the governor's budget, one of the ways to initiate some cost containment to that Medicaid budget is to put all Medicaid services under a managed care entity.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard me mention Magellan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Magellan is a managed care organization. Right. They have a carve-out in the state of Iowa just for mental health and substance abuse services. So it's the Medicaid dollars that Magellan is managing for those sets of services. And the governor is proposing putting all Medicaid services, so whether it's primary care, nursing home care, the waivers for the disabled folks that we work with, all of that. And it's in the paper today. I had a staff member catch me on my way out that the description of that is in the Des Moines Register today. And they're looking at probably doing an RFP to start attracting companies to come into Iowa, and they want to put this into place by next January. So I think their focus is going to be moved away from the regions, and this is just a hypothetical, and focused on their own Medicaid.
Well, a suggestion. I really think that the ADMET group and, you know, that brings recommendations and so forth to the governance board need to include a discussion with Lisa and Rick and yourself in making our case so that those things can be clearly understood. You know, and I don't know the timing for us to be able to do that, because I don't know if are we going to try to make a decision. You're anticipating on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the levy.
And whether you need to be on part of that conference call or set up another one. But I think this is too important for us not to have someone that is familiar with the system and the process and how and what we see as future projections, whether we're right or wrong, but that there's a reality that we're very closer to reality of what the impact could be is if we don't do something. And I just like this.
Yeah, and I'm happy, Wayne, to be part of it, whatever conversation. I would really like two things, and I would ask that you and Deb take forward. There's two things that I would request out of this. I would request the region to have a conversation about what is our philosophy
right.
for how we're going to deal with these ending fund balances, and is it happening 4 years down the road, or is it happening as we move through the 4 years? Because it's going to take care of itself in 4 years one way or another, I believe, thanks to the state. But there's two philosophical ways to look at that. I'd just like you guys to have the conversation, and then whatever you decide, you decide. Second thing is I would like to see projections for FY17 and 18 plugged in. Even though we understand their swag numbers, I think they're going to show that ending fund balance really, really dipping dramatically, and I think that's helpful to all concerned because most people are going to have exactly the question that Auditor Martin had. Boy, that $12 million looks like a lot of money sitting there. It does.
Well,
it
sure
is.
It does. Sure it is.
We need to show why it's not a lot of money
right.
sitting
right.
there. And I don't think that $12 million is a good number because I think it's – if other counties are experiencing the same thing we're experiencing, I think that $12 million is more like $15 or $16
million. Okay.
For FY15. Lisa, would you agree with that? You're on that committee, right?
Yeah, I'm on the financial.
Financial.
I don't know if other counties are seeing the same thing we're seeing with our ending fund balances this year.
I've only seen regional numbers.
I'm not sure if they've had
the regional fund balance. I haven't seen individual county fund balances besides what's in front of me. So.
Yeah, so maybe an extra column that says projected FY15 yeah. ending fund balance would be helpful. Okay? And thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Not
good. Okay.
Well, stay tuned. Well, but they want it by county. Oh, up there.
So our plan as of this moment is that we're going to levy to the $3,066,575, and if that changes, as you guys have your conversation, you just let Lisa know so that
okay.
we know what we're levying to.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Then the next three pages in that handout are just the individual services, and then we've got them broken down by disability category, but just our projections for next fiscal year. And how we're setting that up next fiscal year, one of the changes will be that the claims for services that we're funding are going to go through our fiscal agent. So this current fiscal year, each individual county has been handling those claims and processing them, but we're going to run that all through the fiscal agent starting July 1st of 2015. The administrative, the service coordination and administrative claims will still be processed in each local office. So we'll see a reduced number of claims because those will be going to the fiscal agent, but we'll still be handling our administrative claims locally.
Yep.
And my question then is, we're not showing any disbursement to the region. We're collecting $3 million in taxes, and we're not sending anything to the region.
Not yet. Correct. We will have to make, Lisa, and maybe Carla can talk a little bit about this. The current fiscal year, we got state payment program funds, and we're getting that in two installments. We've got the first installment already that came in like November, and so we'll get the next installment in the next couple of months. And we do have to forward that to the region.
Okay.
But the finance committee hasn't talked about how or when to do that yet. But those dollars will be going back to the regional pooled funds account yet this fiscal year.
So that is
It'll be a total, if we get everything that we're projected to, it'll be a total of $269,335.
Okay.
But I don't know what line that would come out of.
Disbursement to region would be my theory, but that's my theory at this point.
The one that's in there.
So we're saying we're going to send them $100,000 in FY15, and that's not necessarily correct. Is that what you're telling me?
It'll be later. I mean, it'll be sometime this fiscal year.
It'll be more than $100,000?
No. I don't think so.
Wouldn't it be the full?
$100,000 plus this.
Yes.
And Lisa, where?
Okay, so you're saying it'll be $360,000 that we'll be sending them this fiscal year?
370, roughly. And that would be a combination of the SPP dollars and in the amount that had been agreed upon originally.
Okay. That's this year.
That's this year.
That's FY15. Right.
Can you just kind of summarize this again, this portion for me?
I'm looking at, in the middle of page 79, there is a disbursement to the region.
Okay.
That has nothing budgeted for 16, and that's where my question came from, because I don't see that we're going to send any money to the region next year. However, we've got $100,000 this year showing that we're going to send. And what these ladies are telling me is that the state payment program needs to be, the revenues from the state payment program on page 76 also need to be sent there. So we need to increase that amount to 370 is my thought.
Okay. As a re-estimation, but okay, you guys are going to have to spend just a minute with
me. On the disbursement.
Yeah, disbursement. So midway on 79.
I see that. Okay.
Yep. So that 100 goes to 370 as a re-estimation.
Okay.
But then let's talk about 16, because I need to understand this, or at least try to understand it.
I think I'm confused too.
So we're collecting $3,066,000 in mental health levy funds.
Right.
We're handling the claims on a lot of the items that occur in Story County. But the region's going to handle it on things occurring within the region that the counties are not responsible for. How is the region, where are the region's funds coming from to be able to do that?
Well, they'll be coming from the individual counties.
Right.
But at what juncture that transfer takes place has not been determined.
How much have we transferred so far to the region? Didn't we do a $500,000 payment at one point?
$50,000 is the
we did
all 50. We've done.
All people did 50.
But then equalization dollars.
Plus our equalization dollars.
So right now the region is, any check that the region is writing, it's writing using equalization dollars.
Right. And
we're still holding our...
We have not paid $100,000 yet this year, which was what our plan was.
But we think that's going to be $370 now.
But we think it's going to be $370, and okay. I guess I don't understand why we don't put the $3 million in there to transfer to the region. I don't understand that.
Let's talk about that on the conference call this afternoon.
Okay, please, because I'm not understanding why we're collecting the tax dollars but not sending them to the region.
Hey, it's great budgetarily.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
except for the fact that leaves us with $600,000+,
right.
$6.6 million.
Exactly.
Right.
No, the transfer is going to have to take place.
Right.
But at what point and how much of the ending fund balance?
Well, to me, it should be done way before our certification of our budget in March.
Yeah, and it will be.
Yeah.
Is it going to be ending fund balance? Are they going to say send all but something of the ending fund balance? Because I think our policy says, or 50,000, whichever is greater.
Right. And that's not outdated.
Yeah.
That was to start the whole thing up.
Right.
At least they could send them $50,000 in mental health with the change.
I think the reality at the time was, is we were trying, with all that was coming down the pike, we tried to come up with a number that counties could deal with, recognizing that $50,000 was a reasonable number to transfer initially until everybody got a pretty good handle on where they were financially and this whole transfer, and then the ability of the region financial situation to be able to kind of pay, you know, those claims. Because I think there was, wouldn't you say, Deb, there was some hesitancy on the part of some counties in terms of wanting to maintain a certain level of control initially, you know, in how these claims and things were being processed. And I don't know.
No, I think that's accurate. And we were also trying to, we still had a couple of counties in our region that had outdated state bills that need to be paid.
Right.
We had those Oakdale bills that we finally got some clarification on that had to be paid, and all of that now is behind us.
Right.
So we're looking at current and future services.
So we still get to pay our mental health advocate ourselves.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, as I look at this, it just seems to me, so we've got in mental health administration, we've got roughly $1 million budgeted total, right? And you look at what the swag, and I know we have this conversation later, for community life to get through that process, we've got 2.5 or 1.5 roughly
right.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's $2.5 million out of the $3 million. So it seems to me that that if the region wanted us to transfer $500,000, it cash flows for us this year. Not counting the ending fund balances, it cash flows for us this year. If they want us to transfer more than the $500,000, then we have to go into our ending fund balances, and it turns our budget upside down for looking at it for FY16. And so I just encourage you guys to keep that in mind as we have those conversations. And I know that 100%, Lisa, of the dollars that we have in CLP are not mental health dollars, but I'm just using that as a rounding. Okay, what else on mental health services and mental health administration?
Can I talk about case management? Sure. What the region is looking to do for our FY14 cost report settlement, the region is looking to assist counties who need help in getting that recoupment paid. And so one thing we need to talk about is the region had approved for Story County to help with $157,050. And so that, I have that factored into revenue. The region is looking for us to transfer those dollars from our local mental health funds into case management, so into the general basic local government payments. When I originally sent this, set the budget up, I didn't know where
I
that money would
put it in general from. I put it in the general fund.
Okay.
The 157,050
yep.
is showing as a general fund revenue.
Okay.
But you're saying it comes out of the mental health dollars?
It's going to be paid out of mental health to the general fund.
So we're paying ourselves. We're writing, figuratively, we're writing a check out of our mental health fund for $157,050 into our general basic in order to help pay for our case management. Is that right?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll back up, Lisa. When we talked about this with the regional governing board, the options were if a county could, out of their local mental health dollars, do that was the preferred way. If they could not do that, then they could go to the regional pool funds account.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and we clearly have the capacity to do it.
Where do you have that in the...
Where is it? Yeah.
Reestimated current year budget, Carla.
It wasn't in here because at the time I didn't know where it was going to come from.
All right.
But I believe where we need to add it is under the case management audit compliance refunds. I had
audit compliance on page 79.
Yes. Yep. I had originally there the $48,420.
Right.
So we need to add in the $157,050.
We're still talking about FY15.
Yes. Correct, for re-estimate.
Okay.
So I come up with $2,005,470 is what that total would be there. Lisa, is that going to require any a budget amendment?
You guys have $2.5 million budgeted. We'll have to see where we're at, because we've added 370 and 205, about 500,000 to our re-estimated right now, which we're going to be running real, it looks to me like real close.
So, Carla, the 205, 490 that you mentioned should be moved over then under the 15-16 and leave the re-estimated up to 157.50?
No, we're not going to.
Do anything there?
We're not going to change FY16. All we're doing is re-estimating FY15.
Okay, so the 205, 470 would be the total.
What I come up with.
All right. Okay. I'll just take.
Tell me again what we added. We added 270. We didn't add 370. We added 270.
Yes, I'm sorry. We added 270, and we added 157, so we added 307,000.
So we're close, but right now, if things go, we're going to be all right without an amendment.
It looks to me like yes.
Okay.
Lisa, would that be something we take another look at, like in April?
Yes, please.
Okay. And then we don't expect any kind of help from the region where the region allows us to help ourselves in our revenues for case management next year?
For 16?
Yeah, so the 157 that we're moving this year, we don't see anything like that next year?
There hasn't been any discussion of that
right
at this time.
And Deb, isn't there something, because I think Jamie Cashman made some reference to there's discussion about how that whole case management situation may change, that's either being proposed legislation or something coming through DHS. What impact would that have on case management as we currently see it? Because I think it would have an impact on case managers within various counties or within that region. And who do they become employers of?
If he was talking about it in context of this managed care proposal, case management would either come under the auspices of the managed care organization, or the other thing that DHS might do is look at integrated health homes for the populations that case management's currently serving, which are intellectual disability folks and developmentally disabled folks. And that's the model that they used for folks with mental illness. And as I reported yesterday, we just finished transitioning almost 100 cases to the integrated health home providers for that. So if DHS continues wanting to use that integrated health model, I'm not sure where that puts case management, quite honestly.
Okay.
It really could change things up quickly.
Okay. You keep us posted.
Okay. Lisa, how many general basic dollars do we have in our mental health administration? So we shifted things last year, right? From
2 years ago.
Two years ago. Sorry. It's having so much fun. It's
I know,
all
right?
Running together for me. How many dollars do we have in here for the FY16 budget?
For general fund dollars?
Yeah.
For case management?
Yeah.
Well, basically starts
at 483, right? It starts at the pay plan staff right there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And goes down. And so I'm just asking for
$856,310.
Okay, and so shouldn't, as I look back at revenues,
$856.
Shouldn't the 608 and the 79 equal the 856 or come close to? Yeah. Okay, so the whole point, as I recall, for us shifting the case management over was it was a net zero kind of deal. That, yes, we were shifting it. Yes, it made sense to take it to the general, but we were really getting reimbursed for all of that cost. Substantially all of that cost. Well, and when I look at this and I say $690,000 or $685,000 is not anywhere close to $850,000 unless you add the $150,000 back in, which we're doing this year. And it just seems to me that for this to work the way I think we were sold that it's going to work, you got to have an extra $100,000 to $150,000 in the revenue line item, or else the reality is we're hitting our general basic to the tune of $150,000 or more. And so what I would like to do then is, I believe that it was best of intentions that everybody meant what they said, but it means to me that an additional $150,000 a year plus needs to be coming out of the mental health fund to supplement case management here in Story County for us to make this thing work. And so I believe that that ought to be in our budget for next year, and we ought to take it to the region and say, wait a minute, this is what we were told, this is what we moved to, but the real cost to us is this extra, and I'm using a swag number at 150. It's a little more than that, isn't it, Lisa?
$167,000,
and we're budgeting, and our expectation is that we will transfer $167,000 in FY16 from our mental health ending fund balance into this case management revenue line item. Lisa, am I way off base on that?
Go.
And that is exactly what we talked about, was that we wanted this to be a cost-neutral program.
Yes.
And by partnering with Hardin and Franklin counties to do this, we were hoping to reach that even closer, which I think we have overall. I mean, we've closed the gap on it. All of the county case management programs that are offered within our region have some kind of a deficit that's requiring the supplementation through mental health, and that's why we did that for this fiscal year.
Absolutely, I agree.
Forward, and I mean, and if you come to our regional governing board meetings, you'll always see somebody there from DHS case management, and they sit there and say, "Well, we don't, you know, we could provide this, and we don't need, you know, a supplement." Well, it's because their program is statewide. I mean, so their costs and their expenditures and their revenues are quite different. But what we're doing for this current fiscal year with case management is we're redoing our cost report mid fiscal year.
Okay.
Because now we have at least 6 months of actuals as a combined unit that we can plug into that report and find out where we're gonna fall so that we don't have a huge payback, because that's what's happened. I mean, the bulk of the payback was Story County's payback, and so that's why we got the $157,000 from mental health, is to help make up for that. And the paybacks are about a year behind. I mean, it's just how IME is with their schedule of figuring out cost reports.
So if you look at the $151,390
right.
that we are budgeting for that,
yep.
There's most of your dollars right there.
I'm with you, but shouldn't that, based on what we were told 2 years ago, shouldn't that be being supplemented by the mental health fund?
It's something we'll go back to the region with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because right now I'm sitting here and I'm feeling like, well, when we talked about going to this, we were told it was a net zero kind of thing, and it's not. It's a net negative 150, 167.
168.
Mm-hmm. Which is, it's... That's less than what it would have been, I think, if we would have stood on our own. I mean, so it's decreasing as a result of having sharing with those other two counties, but not down to the net zero.
Absolutely, but we used to run it through the mental health dollars.
Right.
So it was coming out of the $3,066,000 and the $1.2 million. Which was not reliable, but let's use the $3,066,000. Well, we're still collecting the $3,066,000, but now we're having to collect an additional $167,000 beyond. So I don't believe that it's costing Story County taxpayers the same anymore, because they're still paying the $3,066,000 plus now they're paying an extra 100, as I view it, 167 according to this budget, and I don't believe that was the spirit or intent of where we were headed, right?
Correct.
And And so I just want to make sure we have the conversation, because my hope and expectation is that before we publish this budget, we're going to change that 608-460, our expected revenue in case management, and we're going to bump it up to where, you know, where it's closer to getting us whole.
And what, for the revenue, I just want to make sure that I'm calculating this correctly. I add the 608-460 plus the 79-840, the general supplemental.
Yep.
Right? Is that what you guys
yes.
are doing?
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm doing, but
okay.
then I'm looking at the line that right now for this year you've got the 157-50 on, and I'm suggesting that when you add up our true expenses and where we thought we were going to be, there should be $167,000 expected local government payment. It's actually us paying ourselves, but it's paying ourselves via the region. I think it's appropriate use of the mental health dollars. I think it's what we were told was going to happen, or what we were led to believe was going to happen. I think it assists us a little on that ending fund balance, not a lot. It doesn't have a huge impact. But I think it's the right thing to do, and it's the right thing to do for the people of Story County, because right now, as I view it, they weren't supposed to be paying for case management twice. They're paying for it once in mental health, and it was our expectation in shifting it that it was still going to be paid for once, and now I feel like they're paying for it 1.25 times. Okay?
Yep.
And, Wayne, I'll be glad to come have that conversation. However, you know, I'll be glad to lay that out for the region.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
I feel
yeah.
really, really strongly that we were told one thing, and I think the region needs to stand by that.
Right.
And keep this in mind. I mean, it does have regional involvement. It's our case management unit.
Yeah, and you'll have to educate
you'll
me
have
on
to
exactly
yeah.
what that means, because right now
well,
I've seen it as a
don't
regional issue.
It. It's fortunate you have you.
The region is certainly involved,
yeah.
but
sure.
it
right.
starts with the 20E board for the case management
right.
unit.
Absolutely, and
right.
the reason I see the region is the purse holder, and I'm not worried about the service. I think the service is great. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm worried about the $167,000, and it's the region that's going
right.
to have to say,
right.
yes, we recognize that those dollars should be transferred.
Right.
And, again, I feel differently about it because it's us transferring it to ourselves.
Yeah.
But we still have to go get permission and
right.
make sure
right.
it's something that's region-wide.
Yeah.
And so, Deb, I would ask if you would go back and review maybe with Lisa exactly what we talked through 2 years ago and remind me of that, because I may be misstating exactly what happened there. I think I'm dead on. I think this that's what we were led to.
Yes.
I think that's what we believe.
Yeah.
So I just want to stand by.
Yes.
Good. Do we need to talk about anything? I'm sorry to get us so deep into this.
No, not when we're dealing with this. This is what we
I think this
have.
Is going to get easier.
Yes,
as we
yeah.
go through the years, I think this is going to get easier. I think last year, these 3 years have been really, really hard trying to dig into this, and there have been so many unknowns, and there's so much flexibility in the way this is going to work. I think we've got to advocate for what we think is right for Story County. I mean, that's our role
yep.
in this.
Yep. I wanted to bring up, if I could, just two
yeah.
lines that I wanted to maybe just relook at the figures I had. It's in the case management budget for communication services.
Yep. I was bragging on you on communication services last time. Let's see what we got to do now.
Well, I'm concerned I maybe estimated a little bit low, and I don't know if, Lisa, you have figures there. I had estimated to be at 7,000.
Yep.
And as I looked at the budget again recently, I'm wondering if that should be more like 8,000. For communication.
I mean, you clearly used 4,000 so far this year. And so that tells me, I mean, that's a static charge, and it doesn't change a whole lot month for month.
No.
So if we're at 4,000 halfway through, it should be 8,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking when I looked at it again.
This is page 80.
Okay.
Fifth one down on page 80.
Go up one and talk about mileage and expense.
Where the 7 is, right? Change that
yeah, change the 7, both 7s. Change the re-estimated budget to 8 and change the FY16 to 8.
Okay.
And then while we're there, let's go to mileage and expense. We're not even close. I mean, we've never been close. That looks like a $1,000 line item to me that we plug in. I mean, we could probably go lower than that, but $1,000 seems reasonable to me instead of the $3,000.
Well, that was in a different place before, so Carla's probably got a longer history than 2013-14.
I like the four-year history when it benefits me. When it doesn't, I want to just look at the last two.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you got to look at reality. And this is one of those line items that got moved around.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it.
Well, and one thing I want to bring up, too, this brings up a good point for me.
So are we going to drop that to 1,000?
Carla, you tell me. You spent, so far this year, you spent 237 out of there. Last year total, you spent 358 out of there. Can we take that to 1,000?
Well, where this gets a little tricky, and this is how I track it in the budget, is that taxable fringe benefits. For when I'm putting that into our system, the way we track it is under that employee mileage expense. Because if you look at that taxable fringe benefit, it shows that we've only got 1,000 in there. But Lisa, I mean, what you're actually paying out of that is quite a bit higher. So we generally end up higher there.
Those two.
And lower in mileage. But on my end, that's where
How come mileage is related to taxable fringe benefit? I'm not following that.
Like the meals in that.
Reimbursed, yeah.
In our system,
so you put it in mileage and expense,
yeah,
and I'm
taxing
it.
That's where I track it in our system. So that's
part of the history.
Gotcha.
Well, but so we should take that then to 3,000. We should take the taxable fringe benefits to 3,000.
Okay.
And we should reduce the employee mileage to 500, and we netted $500 in that.
And employee mileage. Where did we go on the mileage? Okay. Employee flex.
Carly, you just tell me now. So
mileage,
way off base.
The mileage is going to 1,000, right?
The mileage is going to 500.
Okay, I got it. And we put the 3,000 back on the other page.
Yeah, 79. Yep.
Okay,
goes from 1,000 to 3,000.
Okay.
And I'm not looking to short you. I'm just looking to make it as close as I can.
Right. Sure, yeah. I think that's okay.
Okay.
Yep,
okay.
I think that works. Then if I could jump up a little bit to the vehicle fuels and maintenance.
Okay.
When I put the budget together, I kept it at the 68.20 for both 16 and the re-estimate.
Yep.
And this year we've had a few more vehicle repairs. And so when I looked at what we've recently paid out on that, I'm thinking $7,500 or so for the re-estimate for vehicle fuels and maintenance.
Okay.
I think we'll spend over the 68.20.
But good at 68.20 for next year?
Yeah, I'd like to leave it there. I'm thinking, I mean, these vehicle repairs, it was some airbag issues in that.
You've got five right now?
Four.
We've got four right now. What kind of shape are those in?
They're in good shape. The Honda has, gosh, probably close to 75,000 miles on it. That one gets driven the least.
Okay.
And then the three Impalas are driven most. And we're seeing a decrease in travel, just because A, we don't have as many clients, and B, most of our travel is done within the county, maybe some within the region.
Okay. How often do we have all cars being used at the same time?
Oh, we can look that up.
Yeah, I'd like, so here's where I'm going, so that there's no surprises. So we had a conversation with JCS when they were here. They've got a vehicle that they dang near never use. It seems pointless to me that they have that one. Brett McLean wants a vehicle so bad he can't stand it, but I'm having trouble finding, being able to rationalize doing that.
It's ours.
Right.
And
so I'd like to know how many times anybody, including Brett, has not had a car available. We've got a van here at the Board of Supervisors that is not used very much, that can always be in a fallback position to you guys if you ever get caught. But so I'm trying to figure out with the CLP cars, which I think most of them are junk, but there's a set of cars that we got to do something with. But I'm wanting to see if we can reduce our overall fleet and more utilization. So I'd like to get to a system where we could run JCS through you guys and we could run continue to run Veterans Affairs through you guys. You have enough vehicles to be able to accommodate what you need to accommodate and make sure that we got the best of the best vehicles that we're hanging on to as we make the transition from CLP.
Yeah.
All I was going to say is that starting July 1, I'm going to start utilizing the county's vehicle a lot more than
good.
I have, because I'm not going to be, you know, paying for my gas like I have been.
You should.
And so hopefully we'll have through your office and so forth.
Yeah, but even with you utilizing our van more, it's still going to have days and days and days it's going to just sit.
Right.
And I believe our van ought to be used as a good fallback position for all of our departments. I think it is now. I just don't think we publicize it very well. But I'd like, Carla, I would ask that you dig into that and see where we are, and if we were to add JCS, maybe visit with Shirley Faircloth and see. They don't use that thing very often. And just see if we can incorporate them into your system without causing you guys any hardship.
Can you talk a little bit about this? So they have the van. Because she had talked to me some time ago about the van and is this something the county can use? And I said, our office, in conjunction with Veterans Affairs, is pretty well covered when it comes to vehicles.
Right.
So you would want the scheduling and the maintenance and everything to be done through our office?
I'd want you to control the vehicles.
Okay.
I think we've got a system in place where we charge Veterans Affairs something for that.
Right.
I'd want to do the same thing with JCS, but it's really just us paying ourselves, because we're going to budget the dollars for JCS and then it's going to roll through to you. But I want to see less county-owned vehicles that just sit.
Right.
I think sure when Shirley put $1,000 in her budget for that vehicle, and I don't know how old it is and it doesn't have a lot of miles on it, but it sits a lot. And her point was that at some point when that vehicle has to go away, they don't want to replace it. They just want to know if there's something that they can incorporate. But if that van is something that we can put into your rotation,
and we within our office. We don't transport clients. We can't transport them through case management because that's a violation of the regulations of case management. So, most of the driving would be the case manager going to the client's house or going to a meeting, going to training, that kind of thing. And one thing that we just talked about on the surface, nothing in depth, is, when our four vehicles, when they kind of all start requiring a lot of maintenance and no longer cost effective to keep, we probably wouldn't replace it. And we would just end up paying mileage.
More mileage.
Because we're not transporting people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just been some on the surface kinds of conversations.
Yeah. And let's keep looking at it. I just know that my goal, and I think it's fair to say the goal of the board, is to have less county owned vehicles that just sit around.
Yep. Point well taken. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I would gladly volunteer to have one assigned to me every day that I could travel back and forth from home to here and wherever I got to go. And I could justify it, really, because I'd be showing that I'm a county employee and I'm working on behalf of the taxpayers of Story County.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? You can do that if we can find you a vehicle for $3 a day, right?
I didn't want to go there.
$3 a day is what it's going to cost.
I didn't want to go there.
Anything else we need to talk about?
Not that I have. I don't think.
Any other?
Again, thank you. This was outstanding.
Awesome.
I mean, this was awesome. And the analysis going through all the other things and the thing here, Deb, with the region and things that we need to talk about as far as the levy and so forth. I think without this, there's no way I would understand what we're going to do on Monday. So this is was excellent and
good.
Appreciate it.
And the governing board has already approved the service and administrative budgets, but the levy is what is being addressed on Monday.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any way I can help, I think it's important for the region to at least consider what we've talked about here today, and if I need to come and be the one to present that, just say the word and I'll be glad to. Really appreciate the region, Wayne. We appreciate the work the region's doing. We just got to work our way through some of these things, and it's the three of us' responsibility as we sit here in these chairs to take care of Story County.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.